don't stop there. Keep on saying that.
Keep on.
If you've really been delivered from something, if God has set you free for something, if you remember where you used to be, and you are determined to never go back, if you know the peace of God, the freedom of God, the joy of God, the love of God, then come on. Matter of fact, stand it, stand up on your feet as a testimony that you are thankful. About knowing him that changes everything. 1 John chapter 2 said, those that left us because they never was really one of us, because if they was one of us and had experienced him, they would have stayed. Oh, when you know him,
yes, sir.
Oh, there's something about the name of Jesus that makes everything okay.
Yes.
He may not change your situation, but he'll get in your situation. Give me Jesus.
Yes.
Give me Jesus.
Yes.
He'll be the best thing that ever happened in your life. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, even now, Father,
yes, God.
Even now,
yes,
the manifestation of your presence, Lord, make it stronger anointing. A stronger manifestation that we'll find ourselves, Lord, in your presence. In your presence, Lord Jesus. In your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We are continuing on, getting ready to end it up. But we continue on in this series of deconstructing idols and idols in anything we put before Christ. Anything, anybody, any bondage that we put before Christ. Today I want to deal with in pursuit of me in Christ. I don't know if you caught that or not. Each of us need to be in pursuit of ourselves that is in Christ, because that's the real us. If we are not intentional about chasing who we are in Christ, then we have idols. Because anything that we chase, more than we chase Christ, it's an idol. If we chase ourselves more than we chase the self ahead of us in Christ, it's an idol. God is in the process with all of us, deconstructing anything and anyone that we put before him, including ourselves. You really, how can I say this? Paul, this whole passage that we've been dealing with is Paul saying, I'm in pursuit of me in Christ because I'm selfish to find myself, because there's nothing better than discovering who I am in Christ. I don't know if anybody getting that or not. Listen, if you want to really know who you are, it's in Christ. If you really want soul satisfaction, it's in Christ. We are deceived by the devil when we chase something more than him. There's a satisfaction. There's a peace. There's a joy that he says in John 15. He said that he gives. The Lord didn't give it, and the Lord can't take it. And if you don't have the peace of God and the joy of God, and watch this, then you're not chasing God. This wasn't even in my sermon, but the Lord said, nah, go there. Go there. Watch this, because until you taste it, you don't even know it. So many times when we talk about the inner blessings, you think we're just using words because you haven't experienced it. That's why the Lord said, in order to experience by faith, you have to step into it and trust him by faith, then you will experience it. Oh, okay. Well, can I get back to my sermon? Why did you go there? Because many times in the sermon, you don't catch what the bottom line is. So sometimes we need to start with the bottom line, so that you can tie it all together. That's me. You don't have to stand. Just let me read. So that I may attain the resurrection that will raise me from the dead. Paul is saying this. In my spirit, me becoming who I am in Christ, I'm being raised now. I'm walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. Because the real me is not my flesh, it's not my soul, it's my born-again spirit. And it is raising up in me as I allow him to do what he wants to do and make the me in me sit down so the me in Christ can rise up. He's not just talking about the physical resurrection of our body. He's talking about in his spirit. I'm not the me. I'm not completely the me that he created me to be. You are not fully developed yet. You are not fully mature in your spirit. I don't care how churchified you are. There's people who go to church all their lives and they don't know the Lord. Watch this. I've talked with people saying, I said, well, when did you come to know the Lord? They said, well, I've known it all my life because I've been in church all my life. I said, then you really don't know the Lord. You know church. But you have not made a personal decision to let him in and experience some level of change, because you are relating relationship with Jesus with relationship with being going to church. No. Churches might give you the truth where you accept him. where you come to know him, where you come to experience him, where you taste him, but it's not the same thing. Church, being around saints, hearing the word is the instruments God used to get you to him. Watch Paul. Not that I have already attained, listen, the goal of being Christ-like. He said, well, he wrote most of the New Testament books. He's a New Testament hero. If anybody reached it, you would think it was Paul. Look what Paul said. He said, I'm still in process. I'm still becoming, well, I said, what I see. The problem with a lot of people is, even Christians, we don't see who we've been created to be. We, as Proverbs said, we have no redemptive vision of where he's taking us. Listen, not doing, being. The doing is not being, but you do because you are. If you really know the Lord, at some point in your relationship with him, you can't help but praise him. Hold on. Let me go a little bit deeper. But can I be honest with you? Anybody can praise him, but only daughters and sons can worship. Worship is a deeper level. Worship is you are loving on him. But watch this. You can't love on someone you don't know. He said, I want you to worship in spirit by your Holy Spirit, not your emotions, not just your words, but you must be born again. And when you're born again, there's some times when the Holy Spirit just leads you into a deeper, where it's just you and him. You can be all by yourself and you praising God. You got to get to the place that you don't need church to get your worship on. You can be anywhere. Matter of fact, sometimes at work, you got to take a praise break in the bathroom, because if you don't, they're going to think you crazy. But it just comes, you start thinking about the goodness of the Lord and how far he brought you and how he's keeping you. You can be in the midst of the storm and have a praise break and say, I haven't lost my mind, and I know that it's you. We got to move past just calling on him when we think we need him. I'm learning more and more. I need him every second, every microsecond, every breath I take, every move I make. It's the grace, it's the mercy, it's the love of God. We got to get to the point that when we wake up in the middle of the night, that we praise God. That before you move and take your step throughout the day, you need to give God acknowledgement and say, Lord, be my help today. Be my strength today. I need you this day. When self is out of the way, you recognize how weak you are. Why do you think Paul's going this deep? Our goodness compared to Paul's goodness can't fit on the same page. As a Pharisee, he said, you could not find any wrong in me. But when he saw Jesus, he said, Lord, my heart is wrong. Hold on. I said, if your heart is wrong, everything that comes out of our heart is wrong, though it may look right. Don't judge somebody by their outward piety that looks like piety. As a matter of fact, if someone is too righteous, I get scared. You understand what I mean? Years ago, while I worked at this place, it was this lady. She was so righteous, I expected her to float. It was doo 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 doo. Everybody was scared of her. Let me explain. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was self-righteousness and piety. Because nobody was scared of Jesus. They ran to him, not from him, because they felt loved by him. Hey, let me tell you a secret. You know how you get people to like and love you? You love them first. I didn't get too many claps. I thought there would be a plot. You know why? That's challenging to it. But that's Jesus. Like what Paul said. He said, to be more like him. Not what I think. Not what other people think. Not what other people say is right. Not my idea. But when I look at the person of Jesus, I see someone approachable. I see somebody lovable. I see someone that even loves sinners. That's how good he is. When I look at him, I see the parts of me that don't look quite like him, and I know I got a long way to go. Listen to Paul. I'm just going to walk y'all through this, okay? He says, not that I have already attained, but he said, my goal is what I see is Christ, me in Christ, ahead of me. And I'm trying to keep my eyes on him and not be distracted. When you drive and someone cut you off, are we distracted? When you see a parking place and a person know you saw that parking place first, and they pull it to that parking place first. When the cashier is having a bad day, and they nasty, do their nastiness make our nastiness come out? Someone just said, stop, Pastor, don't go no further. But I'm talking about the everyday things. I'm not just talking about the alcohol. I'm not talking about Christians who still smoke weed, or is it marijuana, or is it a blunt, whatever we call it nowadays. But you know, it's the everyday things that test, that challenge. All of us, listen, none of us is exempt. None of us is all that. None of us can put a crown on our heads. None of us can walk with our nose up, because all of us struggle in some area. And if we just get honest, if we just get for real with God and ourselves, we will start loving one another better, because we all have struggles in this journey, but thank God for his grace. My struggle may not be your struggle, but I still got a struggle, and you do too. In this relationship with the Lord, you have to get real. Even, I'd don't like seeing the me he shows me. That's not what he has shown ahead of me. But I thank him that he shows me because it makes me want to keep pressing on. It keeps me from having an attitude of being better than anybody else. It keeps me that I don't care how down, low, whatever, if they come to me, I can talk to them about Jesus. Because if it had not been for him, Lord, thank you for taking me a different direction. He said, but I actively press on so that I can take hold of that perfection, and it really means maturity, that I may grow up, that I can quit being spiritually immature, that when Satan comes at me, what he throws at me, I don't so easily slip. Y'all get that? Hold on. And then he said, and if I do, I immediately said, Lord, forgive me and strengthen me that I acknowledge I slipped. He never talks about us being perfect. He talks about us progressively, listen, working towards the Christ vision in us. You know what? You can't judge me, I can't judge you, because your vision of Christ in you is different than mine. Where you at is different where I'm at. See, you may look where I need to change and don't see where you need to change. The truth of the matter is, are we each as individuals actively pressing forward? Matter of fact, you ought to be so pressing so much in yours, you don't got time to be looking around. Oh, some people come to church to look to see who's here, who's not here. Then you wonder why they not here and they ought to be here. But before church, your mind should have been your heart getting prepared to hear the word of God, the worship, singing with the choir. You ought to be actively involved in the worship service. I know some people say, we don't get time for the Holy Spirit to work. Hold on, he's God. He needs time. Oh, I'm going there. It's not the Holy Spirit that needs time. It's us that needs time, which means that you ought to start getting ready before you get here. Listen. Let me quit saying listen. This ought to be so important. Wake up in the morning, and you just don't get up and go out. I hope not. There's a preparation in order to go out. There's some brushing of the teeth. There's some getting the sleep out your eye. There's the you know, that slobber that has been caught, you know. This is real stuff. We take more diligence in how we prepare to see outside people than we prepare to meet the Lord in assembly. And we wonder why we don't get nothing. Oh, he's holy. Oh, he's the creator of all the universe. And we come in here any old way. You got to prep yourself to worship. You got to stir up the flame. Matter of fact, you ought to be almost jumping by the time the choir gets started. There's a fire. There's a fire that should be already in us. Listen, we can't be your pallet light. You come in ready to worship. You got to tell somebody, I don't got time to gossip. Because gossip be going on up in here. Oh, he's good. Oh, he's mighty. God is so awesome that the Hebrew word that is written in Hebrew, it don't have vowels, but now they are saying that what God has done is a sound. And the sound is let me explain. God did not make us and put us down here so we can do our own thing. Hold on. The greatest purpose is that you are the expression of him. Like Christ is the expression of God the Father, where he tells the disciples, when you see me, you have seen the Father. What you mean, show you the Father? When you see me, I'm the Father. I'm the express image. I'm God wrapped up in human flesh to show you what God is like. And I'm showing you what the first Adam and Eve were created to do. But now that I born you again, put my spirit in you, put my image in you, put my spiritual DNA in you. Now you ought to do what I've been doing. So my purpose, your purpose, our purpose is every day to express him. You know, that's a problem. You know why that's a problem? The me and me want to express me. That means that every day when I wake up, I got to die to the me that wants to express. Do you got that problem too? Is there anybody else in the house got that problem too? Look, I only got three hands up. Every hand in the building. That is our dilemma of being a Christian, being saved, and yet living in this world is still the self. I have to determine, you have to determine, I'm going to die to self. It's a decision. When he says that he actively press on that I may take hold of that maturity which Christ was in. For the reason he saved you is that he could bring out of you the him in you. That's not church. That's Christ living in us every single day. Let me read on. He said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Yeah. What you mean, Paul? He said, I do not count myself as being all that he has called me to be yet. He said, I haven't arrived. There's still more of Christ in me that needs to be expressed in me. I miss it sometimes. There's still more anointing. There's still more power. There's still more love. There's still more. There's more. Say that with me. There's more. There's more. What's that? There's more for me, and there's more through me. Let me explain. The battle for us is letting go and catching hold of him. In order to catch hold of him, I got to let go of what's already in my hands. There's things that are holding on to me. I'm holding on to it. And it's progressively. It's not overnight. It's one step at a time. It's pressing into Jesus. It's looking on to him who is the author, that is the beginner of our faith and the end of. And that helps me, because that says he's walking with us on this journey. He's not asking us to do it by ourselves. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. He said, I am your workmanship. I'm working it out. Philippians chapter 2, 13 says that is the Holy Spirit in us that give us the will and the power to do his will. Listen, if he has done all that, if he has made it possible already, you know what? I just have to, how can I say this? Surrender, what's this? In order to surrender, I have to say no to my will. And yes to his. Somebody just said all day long. Lord, does the battle always have to be so hard? And the question, he said, it's a faith battle. It's not even a strength battle. It's trusting him more. Let me what time I got so I can. I'm not going to get as far as I wanted to go. What how time is it? Okay, I got to begin to shut this down. Bottom line, what I'm learning is that Paul is here pointing all this out because he has fallen in love with Jesus. The more you bite by faith, the more you recognize how much he loves us in spite of us, that he loves us. Because obedience can't come from a motivation of just trying to be obedient. That's Pharisees. Obedience comes from a place that you want to because you love him, because he loves you. The whole basis of this relationship with him is a love relationship. When you make it religion, it's obedience without love. Pharisees, they had obedience, but you know what they didn't have? They didn't have love for God. They have love for God, and they didn't have love for people. I guarantee you, when you start loving God, you start loving people. Because God is love, and love can't come out of no place but from him. And the only way you get that love in you is that you have allowed, watch it, you have received his love. I think that sometimes we just need to get before him. Lord, teach me how to receive your love. Teach me how to receive your love. Because to be honest with you, coming out of all the hurt, all the pain, all the stuff that happened to all of us, there's nobody in here, there's nobody listening to me that have not been scarred. I sit in office counseling, probably over 1,000 by now, and they sit and they show me their scars. Like whips or cuts on the back. They cry and they show me their scars. You know what the first thing I do? I undress my spirit and my soul and show them my scars. Let me share with you that I can identify with you because I come from scars. Once they hear my story, now I got credibility to walk with them through their scars. Until you get honest about your hurt, and how it has affected you. I talk about the manifestation of all the stuff I did. That came from my hurt. That came from my scars. The drugs were the drinking and the drugs and all that was self-medicating. Someone said, Pastor, you was like steel. You refused to be weak. That came from scars. What have your scars done to you? The love of Jesus loves through all of that, but you gotta let him in. I'm still. As much as far as I came, I still got that much or more to go. I came a long way, but I'm not looking. And Paul says, he said, forgetting the past, the good, the bad, the ugly, letting go. Because if you're holding on to past and trying to move forward, that you ain't going nowhere. But when you let go and turn towards the Lord, somebody say, turn towards the Lord. Turn towards the Lord. When you let go and turn towards the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I let go of all that mess. Lord, you can forgive me and all that. And I would stand here and say, yes, he can. Yes, he say that with me. Yes, he can. Yeah. Hallelujah. You may be the worst sinner in the world, but can he forgive that? Oh, yes, he can. He came for sinners like us. He died for sinners like us. He rose for a sinner like us. And he said, you can get up too. My brother and sister, listen to Paul. Listen to him saying, I refuse to go back. I refuse to go back where I came from. Say that with me. I refuse to go back where I came from. Now add this. I'm pressing forward. Even if I have to go by myself. When you decide to really get for real with the Lord, expect to leave some people behind. Everybody don't want to go where you want to go. Some people satisfied right where they are. You know what? You can't wait on them. You can't make them. It's personal. Tell you, this is personal. See, you don't know what the Lord has done for the person sitting next to you. Hold on. I take that back. How much they recognize what the Lord has done. I am still getting revelations of how far or how good God kept me from me. When I think I know it all, God says, remember this? hold on. Then when he takes me back, he showed me he was there all the time. He showed me the stuff I didn't see. He showed me stuff I didn't know. And it, by the time he's done, I am worshiping him and I love him more. Sometimes you just got to sit before, say, Lord, show me. Show me and show me how you've been in my life. Because I'll be honest with you, we have selective memory. We remember what we want to remember. Ain't nothing ever happened good to me. All I've had was bad times. I got bad luck everywhere I go. Listen. The truth of the matter is, it was God that kept you. It's a God that helped you to make it this far. And watch this. And he's trying to teach you, but you refuse to see him. I have a choice. You have a choice to look at the negative or look at God's part and what he was trying to do. It's amazing when God says, you understand. So what I don't understand? He said, I had to. I said, I don't understand. He said, to be honest with you, I set the parameters for what he had to do to break me. I said it based on my stubbornness and refusal. Are you setting the parameters? And he don't do it out of being mean. He does it out of love because he preferred to break me than to keep me where I was. He's loving you. Right now, God is loving you. Right now, receive his love. Right now, open up your heart. Right now, he wants to love you to know him better. Those that are watching, press in the house, press in. You may not know him now, but you're not sitting here. You're not sitting here by accident. You're here on purpose. God called you to be here. God called you to hear this sermon. It was just for you. You're not watching on YouTube or Facebook by accident. God set you up. And I told your story, as I told Paul's story, as I told our story. Your story was told because God wants you to know he's always been there. He always loved you. That door didn't open because if it would have opened, it would have killed you. Who are you chasing? I think we all need to turn our attention to, Lord, help me to chase you for the rest of my life. Help me to remove the idols that so easily sneak up and take my eyes off of you. Lord, help me when I slip to get immediately back up. Lord, show me that you're the satisfaction, you're the joy, you're the peace, you're the strength of my life. Lord, I need you. That's really what it is. Lord, I need you and all that is in that.